how to be a disciple maker, and basically focusing on how to make disciples, not merely just evangelism, but how to make disciples and the whole process behind that. So what I'm going to do during this seminar, basically I'm going to go over why we make disciples. So I'll go over 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, and then I'll walk through an Oikos map, and then I'll walk through just Jesus's pattern of discipleship. And I'm Chris, by the way. I go to Summit View Church in Fort Collins. And so I attended a program. I don't know if you guys, any of you guys have heard of it, but Link a few years ago, and I was really inspired by that to make disciples and specifically pray for laborers to go to the harvest. And so that's kind of why I'm doing this, and I really want to help others and train others in making disciples so you all can be laborers and make disciples. And so that's basically the goal of the class. So this class is going to be very practical based. So if you could fold your paper like this, it's hamburger style, so just fold it in half, kind of like this right here. And basically, I'll do three sections, the ones that I mentioned before. So the first section will be on the front here, and then you'll open it up. The second section will be right here, and then the third section will be right here. So I'll start the first section now. So we're going to be going over 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. And can I have a volunteer to just read that for us real quick? Sounds good. Go for it.
2 Corinthians?
Yep.
In the what chapter verse?
2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21.
5, 17 through 21. Mm-hmm. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Thanks for reading, Will. Yeah, so there's a few things that I want to highlight during that. So you guys will practice this after. So if you guys just want to look and kind of absorb like kind of what I teach here, and then you guys can get with a partner after and practice it. So this is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. So I'll just write that here. Cool. And so for the first thing here, it's just, it talks about in verse 21 that Jesus became sin who knew no sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so I'll just draw a cross here to represent the righteousness of God and us becoming righteous. And so I'll write verse 21 under here as well. So this just represents us becoming righteous. And then in verse 17, it talks about how we are a new creation. And so I'll draw a line here. And then I'm going to draw just a stick figure here and with some lines around it just to represent that we are made new.
Are we copying this?
You guys can just leave it blank for now and then practice it with each other after. Cool. And then this is verse 17, which is that we are a new creation. And then the next one is verse 20, and that says, we are ambassadors for Christ, basically that we are to represent Christ, just like an ambassador would represent a country well, we are to represent Christ well. And so I just drew the world there, that we're ambassadors for Christ. Yeah, and to summarize, this is the why we make disciples. It's because we have a new identity in Christ, and through being righteous through Christ, we have a new identity. And so I'll write this lastly, that this is the why we make disciples. And so basically this would be like for a practical purpose. This would be to, you know, tell to a believer, maybe a new believer or someone who hasn't shared the gospel before, to kind of explain, hey, what's the reason why we make disciples and why do we do that? And so this is a good way to demonstrate that and to show them that. Is there any questions before we start the first practice part?
Is the idea that we go and reach people so that God can be reconciled with them, or because we are ambassadors representing God?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit of both. In the section, it says that we are to take part in the ministry of reconciliation, and so we want them to be reconciled to God, and that's the reason. But also, we do want them. We want them to be ambassadors. So you think of it like, you know, we want people to be saved. We want people to come to know Jesus. But Jesus doesn't say pray for people to be saved. He says pray for laborers to go into the harvest. And so we want both of those things to happen. So basically, it's kind of explaining both of those things. Good question. Cool. Well, I was thinking for you can find a partner and just like practice drawing this. And then I'll give you guys just a few minutes to practice that. And I'll say like 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and I'll draw the next section. So yeah, this is just so you guys can practice this and get the hang of this, so you guys can share this with someone else.
Do you want this on our sheet here?
Yeah, on the sheet, correct. Yeah, so should be on the front of the sheet right here while you're practicing it with your partner. Awesome. Well, I'm gonna move on to the next section now. And basically, this is part of, this, just to summarize, is just part of our identity as disciple makers, or people who are laborers for Christ. So I'm gonna move on to the next section. I'm just gonna tear this off here. And then I'm gonna put this up here for a reference if you guys need it. Awesome. Well, we're gonna go into our next section now. So basically the next section is the oikos map. And if you guys want, you can flip to the next page, so it should be on the inside of the next page. And for those of you who are just joining, we're kind of folding it in half, like hamburger style, kind of like this. So hamburger style, fold in half. We already did the first side right here, but we're gonna be doing this side right now. So this section is the oikos map. And so this is just designed basically to allow us to have a map of who we're praying for who doesn't know Jesus. So basically, this is our sphere of influence for people who don't know Jesus. So yeah, this is basically just a good way to pray for people who don't know Jesus. So I'll demonstrate it more, but there'll be like, you'll write out a bunch of names that of people who you know who don't know Jesus, so you can be praying for them. And this is a great way just to make disciples, because you know, I think the starting point is prayer. Like, we can't do anything without prayer and God working. And so that's kind of what I want to emphasize here. So can I have another volunteer to read just one verse? It's Acts 2:39.
This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. So for the top of this one, what we'll do is we'll just write the oikos map here. So I'm going to write that now. And I wrote Acts 2:39 there because that's the verse that this is based off of. So in the middle, what you'll do is you will just write your name here. So I'll write Chris because that's my name, but you should all write your own names in the middle here. Cool. And then now I'm going to just draw a line here. And then I'm going to draw another circle right here. And so this line represents the connection, and this is the person who doesn't know Jesus. So for example, I know a guy whose name is Rush. He's from India. I've shared the gospel with him before, but he still hasn't quite accepted Jesus. And so I want to keep praying for him to know Jesus. So it could be any connection you have that who doesn't know Jesus. It could be someone that you've already shared the gospel with, or it could be someone who you just have a connection with who you haven't shared the gospel with. And the goal is just to just to be able to pray for them and to really just pray for them consistently. So I'm going to write that here, just his name. And then I'm going to put two lines off of it as well. And so this would be kind of like just people he knows, friends of a friend, who we still might have connections with just through him. And so, for example, for him, part of it would be his family, and then there's another guy named Ajay who I know as well through him. And then I would draw more people. And it doesn't have to be a bunch of people. It doesn't have to be 10, 15 people. It could be 5. Just draw the main people you know who don't know Jesus. And so basically the premise of the verse here, Acts 2:39, the promise is for you, your family, and all those who are far off. And so it's for you, who you're close to, and then all of those who are far off. And so basically, yeah, this is just to get us praying for people who aren't believers, and so they can come to know Jesus. And yeah, this is a good thing just on how to have on a piece of paper and just to stick like on your refrigerator or in your room somewhere, so you would be reminded to consistently pray just for these people. Is there any questions on this before we just do the practice? And I was thinking of just finding a partner as well and just praying for the people who we come up with who don't know Jesus, who are in our sphere of influence. Cool. All right. No worries. Yeah, we can go ahead and just write those people down and just kind of think of the people who don't know Jesus who you can be praying for. All right. We'll just take a few minutes just to pray for the people. So just pray for the people on your White House mats. Cool. All right. Well, sorry if I'm cutting some of you guys off, but we're going to have to move on to the next section now. All right. Cool. Well, just in summary, that's just a good way to just pray for people who don't know Jesus and to really just consistently pray for them and be persistent in prayer in order that they may come to know Jesus. And that's the, I think, in my opinion, just the best way to get people to come to know Jesus is to first pray for them. And that's very, very necessary. So I'd encourage you guys to think about ways where you could apply these Oikos maps in your life. How can all of you pray at a certain time of day or make this a consistent habit to where you can use these Oikos maps just to pray for people and to pray for people to come to know Jesus? So we're going to move on to the next part now. So the next part is just going to focus on Jesus's ministry. And so this will be on the third side of the page. So it'll be right here. And so you can just write Jesus' ministry just on the top of the page. So I'm just going to kind of go over briefly just kind of a little bit about what like Jesus' ministry looked like. And this was specifically like discipleship. So the people that he knew and the disciples and everybody who was around them. And so the last section was more about people who don't know Jesus, and this section is more about people who do know Jesus and how we can actively just be discipling them. So the first thing I'll draw up here is just Jesus' ministry. Cool. And then, so I'm just going to demonstrate just a different amount of people that Jesus reached here. So one of the largest amounts of people that Jesus reached was when he fed the 5,000. So that's when I'm going to draw the number here first. And then at another point in Jesus' ministry, he also fed the 4,000. And then at another point, after Jesus' resurrection, it said that he appeared to 500 people at one time. And so he reached 500 people at this point. And then another smaller one is when Jesus sent out the 70. So he sent out the 70 to two by two to go out and preach the gospel. And then another, there's the 12 disciples who Jesus discipled. And then there's Jesus's inner three. So this is James, John, and Peter. And so if you notice here, Jesus, there's a different amount of people that Jesus ministered to. And so then I'm also going to draw this here. So this triangle here represents the different amount of people Jesus ministered to, and this triangle here represents the amount of time that Jesus spent ministering to people. So if you look at it, Jesus spent the most time to ministering to fewer people. He didn't spend all the time with the 5,000, but he spent most of his time with the 3 and the 12, and then working his way up to the 70 and so on. So he spent most of his time not trying to reach the masses, but trying to reach a few people. And that's kind of something that I wanted to emphasize for you guys, is just to allow you to understand that I think discipleship is just about finding your 3 people. And so what I would encourage you guys to do is find 3 people who you know who are believers and who are followers of Jesus and disciple them. And so that's one thing that I would like you guys to do after this, is just think, who are 3 people that I can be discipling right now? Or think, if you don't have those 3 people, you can maybe just think of 1 or 2 people in your life who you can think, oh, I can be discipling these people. And the main point is to focus on, you don't have to focus on a lot of people. I think that's not the point of Jesus' ministry. The point of his ministry was just to focus on a few people and then see multiplication through those people. Because I believe that if you focus just on a few people, you'll see more multiplication, because you'll be able to pour into these people, you'll be able to teach them, you'll be able to disciple them more effectively. And now I'm not saying that ministering to 5,000 or 4,000 people wasn't important. It was important. But Jesus just spent the most of his time just discipling fewer people so that things would multiply and more people would know him. And then I'm going to draw just something over here. The next thing is just basically a way that we can just do a simple, short Bible study and just a time to just connect with God with people. And so basically the premise of this is to look back. So that's the first thing. I'll draw the arrow there, and that's looking back. And so basically looking back is kind of just checking in with each other relationally. How are you doing? For example, usually what I do is like share a high and low. So just something, you know, that's good about the week that's happened in our lives, and something that's just a little bit of a challenge that's happened and it's been a struggle in our lives. And so typically, like when I do kind of like a get together with people, that's what I do. On the next part is looking up. So this is basically like a Bible study or some study of the Bible. And I usually just, and for this part, I usually just ask simple questions like, do you have any questions about the story? What does the story say about God? What does the story say about the people? And the last one is, what are you going to do about the story? And so basically, the next part is looking ahead. And I think this part is also very important, because I think setting goals and having an application for what you do from what you've learned is very important. So I'm going to draw the arrow here, looking ahead. Yeah, and so this is basically just out of obedience to Christ. So we want to set a goal to be obedient to Christ out of love for him. And it's not just something to check the box or just to say, oh, we did it just because we had to do it, but it's to be obedient to Christ out of love. And so what I would encourage you guys to do in this is, during this look back time, you can also just check in to see, hey, like, how did the goal that you set last week go? How did that go? Do you feel like you succeeded in that, or did you kind of struggle in that? And so I think that's a really just important thing to go through. But yeah, I think the premise of this and just this seminar, it isn't about being better at the tools or knowing these really well, but it's just being obedient to Christ. And that's what I want to encourage you guys all with, is that when we are obedient to God and we do his commands and basically what he said he was and who he said he was, and do what he said to do, we will make disciples, and we trust him. And I think, like I said, a great way to do that is to just check in with each other and just to see how that's been going on a consistent basis with this like look back, look up, look forward kind of approach. So any questions on that?
What were the 70 again?
The 70 were, so Jesus sent out the 70. The 2x2 and to go to different places. I think it's in Luke 10.
Gotcha.
Cool. Any other questions?
What was forward again? Just to see.
Forward. Yeah, I'll write these up here just so you guys can have a little bit more clarity on that. That was setting goals. So you can check in next week to see what those goals are and how they went. And so I'll write each of these things right here. So yeah, just as a summary, this one is looking back. And so looking back was like checking in with each other and how the goals went. And then the next one is looking up, just a Bible study. And then the last one is looking ahead, and that's setting goals. Cool. Well, any other questions? Go ahead.
So I do a Bible study with some of my school friends. Is it smart to do this look back, look up, look forward with them in a group of like 10 or 15, or is it better to do it more one-on-one?
I think it could be done in both settings, but something to be mindful of in the 10 to 15 is, it depends on the amount of time you have, but I think you can do it in both settings, and I think it's a really really good way just to, it's a very simple thing, and the kind of the goal of it too is you can be like, even, hey, like, you guys can do this too on your own. Like, it's very simple. It's just look back, look up, look ahead. It's not like a complex like 20-part Bible study. It's like, hey, you can teach some of your friends even how to do it too, and to multiply off and start different Bible studies as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, for the remaining time, I was just thinking if you guys just wanted to find a different partner and then just practice that, and then we'll probably wrap up after that.